We finished off, we left off talking last week. We were talking about the, we got up to verse 36, kind of touched on that just a little bit. But we were talking about the last point in the message, which is performance after deliveries, the deliveries. And we had got up to talking about, there's three things that we're going to touch on there. And the first one we are working on right now, and that's the praise in the performance in 29 through 36. I'm not going to read all those verses again, but I will pick up here. And let's just start here in verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. My high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. There's three points right there in that verse itself, and we've touched on some of that, but we left off here at verse 36 where it says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. And we just touched on that a little bit last week where I gave you my thoughts of many years ago that I broke down some side notes here in my Bible about the fact that I think about the enlarged steps, and the thing that comes to my mind is snowshoes, as they would use in the Arctic. And I did get a chance to talk to Pastor Wilson about that the other evening, and I think he was thinking I was going to go into some deep theological study about this word, and it was just pretty plain and simple. I said, you've been there, you've used them, tell me if I'm wrong. And he said, you know, oh, you're right. And, of course, the first thing he nailed me on when I told him, you weren't there, but you'll know, the first thing he nails me on when I said, I got to talk to you about a verse. He said, what? A verse, right? He's done that. I said, all right, okay. And so I said, no, it's in the context of what we're studying here. I said, I just need to know. I need to know from somebody that's there. And he said, yes, you are correct in your thinking there. They help you to do something. An enlarged footprint will help you to walk in the snow in places that you never could go otherwise. And he did say that he said, I never quite mastered them. I just wasn't really good at them. And I think that's honestly because it was easier to jump on the snowmobile and go where he wanted to go. But nonetheless, so it's just simply, I said, it's just simply an illustration, man. I'm just trying to give an illustration that will help folks. But it says here, this verse says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. Again, this is David praising God for the things that he's been able to do. And I liken it to snowshoes. They enable you to go places that you normally would not go. God is able to help us to do things that we normally would not be able to do. Again, I'll repeat what I said last week, and this is not Superman task. This man can tell you right here, you can't jump off out of the barn with just a piece of plywood on you and expect to fly. That's Superman's not real, but God will help you to do things that you and I may look at as impossible. You know, he's able to help us get through things and help us to do things that otherwise can't be explained. The word enlarge means to broaden or to make large. There's a few verses I want to look at. I think we might have looked at this one last week. We can look at it again, Psalm 4. Psalm 4 and verse 1. Psalm 4 and verse 1 says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." David's praising God here, and he's asking God, he says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness, for thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." David's saying here in this verse that I was in distress, but yet you enlarged me. You helped me to get through whatever it may be. And each and every one of us, we could stop here this morning at this time at 17 after 10, and we could spend the next 30 minutes. And I could hopefully, I know each and every one of you have something, but I could hopefully get you to say and testify of things that God's been able to, you've been able to do in your life because God enlarged you to do it. He enlarged you. He helped you to get through whatever it may be. We've had, particularly over the last couple months here, at least two of those occasions where families were affected by things such as that, and that God was able, I'm sure that they would testify, that God enlarged them and helped them to get through those times. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. Never underestimate what God can get you through in this life. Proverbs 4, we'll start at verse 10. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." And we could go on reading there other verses as well. But Solomon here writing in the book of Proverbs, and he says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. That seems a little strange, but when you look that straighten up, it means hindered. And your ways won't be hindered because, why? Because God has helped you. He's enlarged your steps. He will help you to get through these things. "When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold on instruction." You can't go through this life. You can't be enlarged. You can't go through those tough times without holding on to the instruction that God has given you. There's no supernatural way that you and I as Christians have to go through this. We have God's word, and God's word will instruct us on how to go through it. Yes, the Holy Spirit is a supernatural way. His Spirit comforts us, and it helps us to get through these things, but yet the Bible tells us that we need to hold fast on instruction and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Folks, the word of God will help us and instruct us and enlarge our path. It will help us to get through the things that we need to get through. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and 32. Psalm 119 and verse 32, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou hast enlarged my heart." Back in Psalm 18, he's talking about enlarging his feet that he can go places, but God will also enlarge our heart, give us a bigger heart for those around us. He says, I will run the way of thy commandments, the way of thy commandments, the way of the word of God. That instruction he talks about back in Proverbs will keep us and help us to be enlarged and have a larger heart for those around us. He says in verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it until the end. We talked last week about teaching and about how Job, in the book of Job, where it says that how God teaches us, and we will not go back over all that. But back in Psalm 18 and verse 36, we talk a little bit more about him enlarging our steps here. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. One writer wrote this, the idea here is to make room for my feet so that I can walk without hindrance or obstruction. I thought that was pretty good. And Psalm 31 and verse 8, the last part of that verse is, thou hast set my feet in a large room. He also said, it is as if David is saying that once his feet were hindered, but now all obstacles have been taken out of the way so that he could walk freely. David's able to walk freely when God takes the obstacles out of his way and enlarges his steps so that he can do what God wants him to do. And God will help us the same way that he helped him. John 8 and verse 36 says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We are freed from sin and free to serve. God has enlarged us, folks. You know the Lord as your Savior. He's enlarged you. He's enlarged your path, your the way that you should go. He's enlarged he's given you the support. He's given you that way. Even though, if we go back to the snowshoes thing, even though that seems impossible to be able to walk over all that, sometimes our life seems impossible to us, and the things that lie ahead, they just seem impossible. But if we trust God and trust his word and by faith follow him, he will broaden our way. He will make our steps large so that we don't sink, so that we don't slip in this life. The Bible says also there, actually before John 8:36 and 8:32, it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God wants us to be free. He wants, as he wanted David to feel free to walk around, he wants us to be free too. Not free to sin, but free to serve. And, you know, I don't like being cooped up in places. I don't like being, you know, in a tight place. I don't like that. I don't like being confined. I'm not claustrophobic by any means, but I don't like being really confined. We were recently, when we went out to see Luke and his family, we were on an airplane. If you don't like being confined, don't go on an airplane. Unless you got enough money to ride up there in first class, where you got a little bit more room, but I don't know who designed. I think the guy that designed the Japanese little cars designed the backside of the airplane, because they didn't design it for people that were normal size, I would say. But I would sit in that seat. There was, most of the time, the planes we were on, there was three seats. And it, of course, it was Angie and I. And then sometimes there was someone beside us, and sometimes there wasn't. But that first plane from Baltimore out to Minneapolis, I sat by the window, and the older I get, I pay for the abuse that I've put my body through. And I suppose it's arthritis, I don't know, but my knees get to bother me so bad and I have to stretch out. I just have to kind of move. And I could not move sitting in that seat. And I felt confined. And I thought about that as I studied this and what that writer said about David, that it was though that God took the obstructions and the hindrances out of his way so that he could walk. And that's what God does for us when he saves us. He gets us out of that confined place, that place where sin controls our lives and where we just serve sin and not the Savior. He sets us in a large place and he gives us the ability to do things that we normally could not do. In the last part of verse 36, it says here that my feet did not slip. If you study out the word feet there, it means ankles, joints, especially the ankle. The ankle is the most useful joint for walking. It is also liable to be sprained or dislocated. And if you've ever went through that in your life, done something with your ankle as a young man, I don't know what it was. I should have had plenty of strength in my ankles growing up on the farm and all the things we'd done, but I would, every now and then, I would turn my ankle, not necessarily sprain it, but just kind of turn it. And I recall, you know, several times I recall carrying a bag of feed one time to feed some cattle we had. And I took a step down about that far with that bag of feed, and that ankle went like that. And that it took a little while to get over that. I was affected by that. Later on in life, after being married and having several children, I was working in Frederick for Jim Grimes and was running a big, very large wood processing grinder thing. And come down off of the... It was so large that it didn't have a ladder to it. It had a stairway to it and to the control tower. And I come down off of that thing and just buzzing around like a young man in his 30s does. And come down and took that last step that was about that far, which had a step in between. But you know how when you're young and you don't like to take all the steps, I take a little shortcut. And I come down on... I believe it was my left ankle. I don't even know now. It's healed. But I tore ligaments in my ankle. And it affected my walk. It affected my step. It affected what I could do from there on out. And so it took a long time for that ligament, or that, as they refer to it, when you're going through something like that. It's like a rubber band. It's like healing a rubber band. And what am I saying it? He says here in verse 36, the end of it, that my feet did not slip. And the word feet means ankle. Folks, it affected me. It affected me for weeks till I could get healed up enough to go back to work. It affected me for a good year. The things I did after that, I walked... walk like a cat on a fence, very, very slowly when I was in a predicament where I might turn that thing again and hurt it. But David is praising God here for enlarging his steps, and not only that, but that he would enlarge the steps under him so that his feet didn't slip. You know, you and I, as we serve the Lord, it's not of us. It's not of what we do. It's what he does for us that keeps us going. We can't pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, so to speak. We can't keep ourselves. Yes, we should follow the instruction in the Word of God and obey the commandments of the Lord and his teachings and the things that we should do. We know we should do those. But folks, you and I can't keep ourselves from slipping. We can be careful But sometimes, you know, none of those times that that happened to me, did I plan on that happening? Did I say, you know what, today I'm going to tear the ligaments in my ankle so that I am affected for the next 2 years? No, I didn't plan on that. And the things that come about us in our lives, we don't plan on, but yet God is able to enlarge our steps under us that our feet don't slip. We'll never know. We may know on the other side. I don't know, and it probably won't matter when we get on the other side, the things that God has kept us from, the things he's protected us from and kept us from slipping and falling in this life. David was able to walk freely. Before, he had been like one whose ankles were weak and sprained, but now he's able to tread firmly. David had divine favor with the Lord. God had given him strength as if he had given him strength as a lame man to walk firmly. And David was praising God for helping him to walk firmly. And I've thought about that as I studied this out. And, you know, I kind of got convicted about this, you know. David here, he's praising God for all these things that God did for him. And how often do we praise God for the times that he's been able to bring us through things and help us in larger steps, keep us from slipping, other things that he's given him back in previous verses here. And it gets convicting that God would do all this for us, and yet we don't praise him like we should. There's many more things that we could say there, but we're going to move on to verses 38 and following here. Or excuse me, 37. Let's read these verses here. It says, I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. And then verses 36 through 50, we've already covered. I just want to say a few things about these verses here. And some of this is like prophetic. But David here, again, this is all, we keep this all together in Psalm 18 as a song of deliverance. And this is what David is praising God for. For delivering him from these enemies. So we saw the praise in the performance, and then there's in verses 37 through 42, there's a pursuit in the performance. In these verses, we see God gave David power for the pursuit. Again, we see, just like we saw in these last verses here, that God is giving David the strength and power he needs to do what seems impossible. This is a lot of the The language through here I've referred to as he would, as David, as a man of war speaking, military terms, so to speak. And we see this again in these verses. God will give us the strength, just like he did David, to overcome our enemies and defeat them. You and I are not going to be out here stumping them down, so to speak, as David did. But our enemies are not physical so much today. They may be enemies within ourselves that we can conquer. There may be things in our lives, sins that so doth easily beset us, the Bible talks about. We'll get more into that when we get into Psalm 19, where, let me see where the verse is here. Verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. David is talking about that. He talks about secret sins. There are enemies, folks. We're not so much faced with the physical enemy outside this door. We may be as time rolls on here, but God was able to give David, help him through the pursuit here to perform the way he wanted him to. And God gave him the strength to overcome them. He'll give us the strength to overcome ours as well. We might not always win the battle, but folks, in the end, we will win the war. When I say we will win the war, the we part of us is that we are on the Lord's side. And he's the one that's going to win the war in the end. But we will conquer in the end. And then lastly, in verses 43 through 45, there's a promotion in performance here where it says, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people and hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve me. David here was promoted by God, and God was the one to deliver him. Because of deliverance, David was promoted to be the king. Of course, a lack of deliverance would have shown a lack of faith on David's part. There were certain noble spiritual qualities that helped him in this promotion. David trusting God through all this to deliver him. We see nowhere in Psalm 18 did David turn any other place other than the Lord for help. He didn't turn to his fellow men, his fellow soldiers. He turned to the Lord and asked him for deliverance. And we see all through the psalm that he's praising God for that deliverance. One must be saved and delivered before he can be promoted to a place of service in the Lord's work. Furthermore, we are delivered so that we can serve. God didn't save you and I, those of us who have trusted the Lord as a Savior. He didn't save us so that we could just sit here and be a number at Pioneer Baptist Church. He saved us so that we would serve him, that we would bring glory to him and honor to him. And we can do that by serving him. And we've learned more and more from Pastor Wilson and his studies and that he does here, and things that we've learned. And you know, it's that going out here and doing the method that he was speaking of here Wednesday night, going through that method, that road, all that, that's not serving the Lord. That's something that we've came up with over the years. I've been very encouraged and blessed through that, the study that he's had in and the fact that so many times over the years of my Christian life, and, you know, had it been, I don't know that it was done intentionally, but many times the way that I took some of the preaching over the years was a guilt thing. And the pastor spoke about that, that they try to guilt you into doing things. Folks, if it's not in your heart, you're not going to do it. Anyone that I've ever talked to about the Lord, God has arranged those things and got me to a place and given me the boldness to say something to them. Not everyone has the same personality. Not everyone is as bold as others when it comes to talking about the Lord. But you know, just talking to people about the Lord is not the only way we serve Him. There's many ways that we serve Him. I was just thinking about it recently, and things that were done here at Christmas time, special things that were done, those that were honored, the things that went into place to do that was people serving the Lord and making things come together. And it's not just those people, it's everyone. It costs money, the money that comes in here through the Lord's work that we give, you know, we should give, not grudgingly, the Bible says. And as we do things, we're part of that too. We're part of, just like the missions, that's part of us serving. You know, I'm not in Africa. I'm not in Tuck. I'm not in you know, Russia, other places, different places our missionaries are. I'm not there. I'm not in Central America. But I can have a part in that by serving, by giving. There's something that can be done many different ways, folks. Don't just narrow down serving the Lord to soul winning, we call it. Let's not narrow it all down to that. But we are saved to serve. Now, next week, I'm not sure. We're either going to go on to 119, or we might just do a complete review. And if we do a review, I promise you, it will only be one Sunday. Because we've covered a ton of ground in Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm that I've covered since I've been up here. And so there was a purpose in the whole thing. And that's hard as we go through it to keep that all there together. But we may just kind of read through it like I did the first time and just comment a little bit on it, go through it, and, you know, if we get through it and we've got time to testify, maybe we'll do that. I'm not sure. We'll do what the Lord wants us to do, and just pray for us as we seek His direction. Let's pray.